Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Hour 2. Man, we've been getting after it today. My sheet is just littered with scribbles of topics today on the program on this August the 13th. The sun is out here in the 306. We're coming to you from the bunker in episode number 51 of the program in a field north of Regina. That's all you need to know. Pleased to welcome a couple of CBC legends to the program.
Oh my.
Say hello to Costa Marigas and Peter Mills making their Rod Peterson Show debuts. Gentlemen, how are we this morning?
I'll speak for Peter.
Yeah, sure. He usually does. Yeah.
We're doing great.
Yeah.
It's great to be on your show. I'm a big fan.
I've been watching
from day one. So, and congratulations on the success of this show. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
It's great to be here.
Well, the one thing I get the most is the guests. The guests are national quality. They are, you know, TSN quality. So, Pete, that feels good, right?
I was going to say, well, especially, I mean, I'm a little overwhelmed just because, of course, I've had you on my show before, Roddy, and just having you on, I pretty much didn't have to do anything on Blue Sky. You took over immediately.
Sorry.
No, that's great. You're the best guest that somebody could have because you, of course, have plenty of hosting experience, but also sitting beside this guy right here, one of the people that mentored me the second I walked into CBC Saskatchewan.
Yeah, your first story.
I do too. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't tell this story because it wasn't a great one.
No, you did really well.
Let's hear it.
Well, just that I said, you'll never make it in this business. I think, is that what I told you?
Probably.
Something
at
like
first,
that.
Yeah.
No, I would never say that. I'll say this. I'll confess something, actually, because, I mean, it was his first PAX.
Well, to give it away, too. Yeah. The story was that I was covering kids reading stories to a dog. It was a dog at the library who was helping kids read. Yeah, well, it's all about literacy, Rod. But yeah, not exactly the most hard-hitting news. Costa treated it like it was the top story of the day. He gave me all the motivation to voice it properly. We were in the elevator. He's running my lines with me and made me feel.
That's the kind of guy he is.
He is
an absolute icon, Costa Marigas. and beyond. Yeah. Look at this. We got Linda checking in from Victoria. She says, "Nice to see Costa again." I anticipate we're going to get a lot of that throughout the morning here. But this is the funny thing. You walked in halfway through I got two questions before we get to the real stuff. You walked in halfway through our morning meeting here and you were fascinated by what was being talked about.
Absolutely.
What fascinated you so much?
Well, just the first and foremost, the audience engagement and the fact that you can see with the audience engagement right there in real time coming in. And the diverse audience that you have, male, female, and just seeing that and how it's been growing since day one is really impressive. I mean, it's a lot of work behind the scenes. I understand how these shows, you know, we understand there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. But I'm just impressed with that and impressed of the fact, and this wasn't discussed in the meeting here when I just stumbled upon, but taking the risk to put on a show like this on the air, that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
So, you know, congratulations to you, to Darren and the team. I think it's fantastic.
Well, and it's a big team, as you saw. They really only see about two guys every day. Mm-hmm. It's a huge team, and you haven't even met the people downstairs.
This is almost like CBC-esque, so big.
Yeah. Well, it's big. It's big. I'm trying to trim the budget here. DuPont's the one spending all the money. And how about you, Peter? You've been following the show, too.
I have, of course. Yeah. You know, I got to say, I'm busy trying to work on my own shows at work, but I always go back and watch on YouTube. I love the YouTube channel because, of course, with algorithms these days, I pick one guest that I like watching, and then the next one will pop up, and I go down the rabbit hole. So I've been watching you a lot on the YouTube page, which I really enjoy. Then you kind of get the best of hits, too, as well. Not that I'm not willing to go through 2 hours of Facebook Live after the fact. But, you mentioned earlier you've got a lot of BC Lion guests on the show. I'm amazed at all the former people you've been able to dig up. Kent and Keith was one that I obviously watched. So many great former riders that you brought on. That's probably been my favorite part of the show.
And that's Clark's job. That is Clark. So we're a team here, and we love... Actually, when my eyes opened this morning, I couldn't wait to get in here today, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But Costa, you wanted to point out, before we went to your sports background as a journalist, award-nominated background in sports.
Because what am I doing on a sports show? I love sports. I mean, yeah. I'm more of a casual fan, but on the journalistic side, I took great efforts and great pains, actually, to do documentaries on sports-related documentaries. Yeah. And two of the documentaries were nominated for Best Sports Documentaries in Canada. Didn't win. But that's okay. You're at the dance, and that's all that counts, as they say. But one was on the life and times of Roy Shivers, the former general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And the other one was from Regina, a man's story on his odyssey, his journey from Ethiopia through to the refugee camps in Africa to making a difference in Regina. And that's the story of Ted Gilletta. Mm-hmm, yeah. So, and that's more than just sports. There is a lot more to those stories. But and what really brings credibility, as far as I'm concerned, for being in a sports show, I'm the former sports editor, in other words, in charge of the whole sports department of the Quesnel Caribou Observer. So I'm very proud of that as well.
Great town, Quesnel, by the way. Awesome place in northern BC. It's on the highway to Prince George, as you know. You live there.
And near Barkerville.
Yes, that too.
Roy Shivers documentary is fantastic, by the way. I remember watching it years before ever joining CBC. Also, your exit interview with Roy Shivers after he was canned by the Riders.
Mitchell Blair, Comcast Terry.
Well, I'll say about Roy, he was never at a loss of words.
Yep.
He always spoke from his heart, whether you like what he says or not. Controversial at times, but really a man who's truly made his mark in the world of football. For those who don't know, he was the first African-American to be general manager of a professional football team in North America.
Yeah, not just the CFL.
Started with the Birmingham Barracudas for 1 year. And also when he came to the Riders and the hiring of Danny Barrett, it was the first African-American GM coach duo in pro football history. So he broke barriers. And to me, this is a man who should be recognized accordingly. I mean, you can always find gaps and issues in the way teams are managed. There's always controversy. Oh. But leave those aside. Leave those little things aside. Look at the big picture of what this man has meant to pro football.
Well,
and I think he should be recognized accordingly.
Let's dive right into that. And Peter, I got questions for you too.
Yep.
Like Kevin Glenn said it, I think it was last year, that with this diversity is strength initiative the CFL is doing, he goes, I don't even talk to me about it until you put Shivers on the back of somebody's shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's the number one guy that should be recognized. And why he hasn't, I don't understand it either. But I'll ask you this, Costa, what changed with Roy? You knew him throughout his entire six and a half, 7 years here.
Pretty well. Not the first two. I only met him in 2004 or four around there.
Well, even then,
I spent 6 months doing this. It was an hour long documentary, and I went to East Oakland where I met his contemporaries and stuff.
Well, he's
I've had breakfast with him in Vegas a few times.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Roy, with me, when he first came, was outstanding, and he was for several years. And then by the end, I don't think I did anything or I changed, but Roy was ready to go. When he was fired in the middle of the 2006 season. Seven seasons.
You know what? That's a long time.
It's an eternity in pro football.
Yeah, especially in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's well above the average for sure. Yeah.
He just got tired, you think?
I don't know. Maybe just, I think part of it, and I shouldn't speak for him because I have not asked him this question, but I suspect the team at times came so close to breaking through to a Grey Cup appearance. I mean, you think about the one missed field goal in the West Final in 2004. And there were a few other things along the way. The team was this close, and I get the impression, you know, Marshall, who's sitting in this seat, has played the game and he can relate, but football is such a cruel game because you start off-season training, the grueling training camp, exhibition season, regular season, you survive all that, you get in the playoffs, and then it's one game.
Yeah.
And one little misstep along the way kiboshes the whole season. And that's what kind of happened to the Riders under Roy Shivers. A ball going one way this way as opposed to the other, a non-holding penalty at a key part of the game gets you in the Grey Cup. And maybe that would have changed things. But I'll have to ask him next time.
Or hitting a post against BC in the Western Final.
You're talking about a playoff game. Imagine the last play of a championship game that you blow.
Yeah.
And that's what I think about all the work that goes in.
Yeah. But he put a lot of work into that team, and maybe it wore on him. I don't know. I've never been in that position.
When you say honored properly, do you mean Plaza of Honor?
Plaza of Honor with, I don't know how, the inner workings of the Rough Riders and the Board of Governors, who I know have the interests of the team at heart. But I think when you look at Roy Shivers' body of work, Saskatchewan on its own is huge because he came in here in 1999 when the team was on the verge of bankruptcy. No disrespect to the previous regime, because the previous regime under Al Ford had huge challenges. They were subsidizing other teams in the league, right? Yeah. So, but that's the situation with the team when he came in. And there was a huge rebuild process at that time. So that alone, but you look at his work, he played in the NFL as a starting running back with the St. Louis Cardinals in 1967.
Yeah.
On a team that was arguably the most racially charged team in the history of pro sports, and he survived that and did very well. And in his coaching, and really, he was at least partially responsible for bringing Grey Cups behind the scenes to the Lions, to the Calgary Stampeders, mm-hmm. and back to the Lions again.
That's right.
So I look at his body of work and what he's meant to the game. I would put, for sure, a Plaza of Honor at the very least, and I would certainly make that pitch to the board.
Costa Marigas doing a great job selling that. You got me convinced this morning. Roy was great to me.
And he's never asked me about that.
Because he knows.
Well, he's a proud man.
Exactly. He knows.
But his work speaks for itself.
He knows why so far he's not in. He needs to go in. Dan, watching this morning, he's a Ticats fan, watching from Southern Ontario. He says, not a Rider fan, but Roy's done an excellent job to turn this team around. And there's absolutely no doubt about that. And we appreciate all CFL fans from all teams joining us every day here on the Rod Peterson Show. We will take a timeout. I got questions for you, Pete. Hang on. They're coming up on a Tuesday morning on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay.
Eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Get Costco pricing on this new 2019 GMC Sierra 4x4. It's just $39,645 plus tax, or just $256 bi-weekly. Or get Costco pricing on this new 2019 Buick Encore. It's only $27,098 plus tax. That's just $93 a week.
You pay what we pay!
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Tuesday morning, episode number 51. We've been talking about legendary-ish number 51s in sports. Marcus Adams has come up. Our Winnipeg viewers have chimed in with former Bomber O-lineman David Black. Normie Fong brought up his watching. He's written in Steve Smear, number 51. Do you remember Costas? Or
Steve
even you,
Smear. Peter? Did he play hockey?
No. I do not. No, I played for the Riders, apparently.
No, I don't.
Steve Smear. A lot of baseball greats. Ichiro, Randy Johnson, Bernie Williams, Willie McGee. Habs fans written in Andrei Kovalenko. So number 51, a big, big day. You can text us at any time, 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. Shout out to Roots Kitchen and Bar, the official coffee house of the Rod Peterson Show. These gents are going home with gift cards from there. Oh, Baron Simpson with the Bombers. Thank you, Clark. He's chimed in
with a great,
you wore number two here, of course. Yeah. 51. Thanks, Clark. And who else did you say from the Leafs? Who did you say? Jake Gardner. Clark chiming in with his daily Leafs propaganda. Serena Williams is scheduled to play her first match since retiring from the final of the Rogers Cup on Sunday. The American superstar plays Zarina Dias of Kazakhstan in the first round of the Western and Southern Open in Cincinnati tonight. Roger Federer is back in action for the first time since Wimbledon. The Swiss star is seated third at the Western and Southern Open, and he'll take on Argentina's Juan Ignacio Londero in second round action tonight. Blue Jays will look to keep their bats hot as they continue a three-game series against Texas at Rogers Center tonight. Toronto thumped the Rangers 19-4 last night at Rogers Center in the opener with Brandon Drury hitting his first career Grand Slam. And Game 2 of the WNBL East Final was rained out last night in Swifty. They'll try it again tonight. Regina Red Sox at the 57s. If a Game 3 is needed, it'll be back here tomorrow in the Queen City at Curry Field. So, we've got Costa Marigas with us and Peter Mills. I think people want to talk until midnight on the Roy Shivers debate, which is one of the favorites. There's a lot of comments. Yeah. Do you want to read these off the
Wayne
Facebook
Grillo
wall?
Wayne says, Roy made the Riders a competitive team, but couldn't get them over the playoff hump. Fair commentary, but I agree with Costa. Roy should be in the Plaza of Honor. Thank you, Wayne. Emery Wolf says, I always attribute the 07 Grey Cup to the Shivers regime. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had half the team we had. Did know the other stuff, but I've always dot, dot, dot. And from Craig Smith, love the Shivers documentary. Thanks, Craig. Great work. Worked with Roy a couple of years ago. What was he doing? And learned a bunch from him. Love the guy.
Craig Smith is what we call our director of scouting, Costa. He's been the player personnel director
on two
Grey Cup winning teams, and he is our director of scouting. Smitty, we can't get you in here enough, by the way, so get your butt in here. Craig Smith. Everybody loves Craig Smith.
He's
and he was
guest.
Part of the 2013 Ryder Grey Cup champs. Peter, here's one for you.
Yeah.
This is what I love about you. Ever since I met you, you've been covering the Riders, showing up wearing a Rider tie, something Riders with CBC. And now this is my first year since 1998 sitting in the crowd watching the games. Yeah. And at the last game, I sat behind you and you were you probably didn't know that I was up there.
No, I did not.
But you were with all your buddies.
Yeah.
You were in green and white head to toe, which I like and I respect. And Costa, you can chime in at any time too. Mm-hmm. But when I got into the booth doing Rider games in 1999, I grew up here. I loved the team. And everybody's like, you need to change. You need to be impartial. You need to be this. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I grew up loving this team. Why should I stop now? And of course, my predecessor was Jeff Currier, who is from Ottawa, and he didn't love the Riders. It made him very good at what he did in being impartial. But I never took my green glasses off. I never stopped loving the team. I didn't think that I should have to. And you know what? A lot of people that didn't agree with me could kiss my ass. I don't care. And clearly you feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit of a tough thing to work with, though, as well, because, you know, I generally... The profiles I do are a little bit looking more at the players off the field, right? I don't deal so much with the the analysis of a game and things like that. I don't go to the games and sit in the press box. Like, obviously, if I did, I would not be cheering for the Rough Riders at all. And the other thing is, I would be probably more critical of any Rider fan or a Rider media person.
Too critical.
I'm not afraid to be a critical of the Riders in the slightest bit. But yeah, I mean, over the years, that has become one of those things where it's like, maybe I should be taking a little more of a step back. And I have tried to. But I mean, the thing that I always loved about the team is I grew up with it. My mom is one of the biggest Rough Rider fans in this province.
Fran,
that's right. It brings this province together. It brings family together. We were just actually at a wedding party just the day before the wedding, and we had my buddy's fiance's family's from England, and they all wanted to watch the Rider game. They all live in England, and they wanted to watch the Rider game. So it even brought their family together. And, you know, that's something that I don't think you ever need to lose. Maybe, obviously, again, yeah, if I was sitting in the press box, I wouldn't be riding any Riders gear. I wouldn't even wear the green tie that I know you love so much.
I love it.
But yeah, I think there are parts where you can go and enjoy the team. There's plenty of people covering the team in this province that are like that. But then obviously when you're at the field talking to them, you got to throw that out the window.
It's a fine line, though.
It is. Yeah.
It's a fine line. You have to be very careful with that. Because even when, and you do some great profiles of the players, and I learned things about them I didn't know through your interviews. But during that course of that discourse there, there could be something that comes up that's very touchy. And
yeah,
if you're seen as a Rider booster,
yeah,
and then you turn around and do some story that may not reflect well on the team, and then people may say, are you holding things back because you are a fan? So you have to be very, very careful with that. I think you carry it very
well.
Well,
and that's one of the
and you're conscious of that.
One of the
and
reasons,
CBC has a policy on that as well.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah, one of the reasons I went with the format I did, instead of me doing an interview with, like you said, Costa, and then omitting things that maybe they said or framing them a certain way in my own language, I wanted to present it as the player's voice, right? Mm-hmm. Almost like the player's tribune in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm just there to dig this stuff out of them. I'm the one doing all the research. I'm the one asking the questions, but I want their voice out there, and there's nothing that I take out, right? I put it all on there. You can hear the entire audio, raw audio of those interviews, and I found that the best way to present it. And to be honest, the reason why I did this style of interviews is, which I call Meet the Riders, go check them out, please, great stories on cbc.ca/ask, a little plug.
That's good. No, I want to talk more about that.
But. Sure, yeah, okay.
Well, I want to say this, though, and I have a real issue with generally sports journalism in Canada. And Rod, maybe you can speak to this, because when you were doing play-by-play for the Rough Riders, what clause was there in there that would limit you on what you can or cannot say?
Oh, because I think legally I would got to be careful.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but when you have broadcasters, and I just don't want to pin it on TSN, I suspect this is the case with most broadcasters that have rights to broadcast leagues and teams, they're in a clearly a conflict of interest, and I think they ride a real fine line there, because when something happens to the league that could not reflect well on that league, whether it's CFL, NHL, I suspect there's information that's being held back, because if they go full out on this one and expose something about a league, they're probably out of a job, because I think there are clauses there. So on how to report these teams, they're more like acting as a promotional vehicle rather than as a critical eye.
That's
on
exactly.
But when I think about concussions, for example, how open and how journalistically responsible are these broadcasters when they do stories on that? I take it with a grain of salt.
Well, over my time, because it was a long time. How long did you anchor the Supper News on CBC, by the way?
It was before the internet.
But how many years total?
It was about 22 years.
22, so a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
20 seasons calling Rider games for me. In my time, over time, it became a lot more stricter you could say. When I started, you could literally say pretty much whatever you wanted, and by the end, you couldn't say much of what you wanted. Mm-hmm. So that's really the difference on that, which I think is unfortunate, but that's not just here, that's everywhere. In pro sports.
Well, teams want to control their own media more and more than ever now.
Of course.
It's so controlling, and I don't know if that serves the fans very well, but maybe fans don't care. You know,
I think they do, because I see... I follow a lot of fans on social media across this country, and I see what they're saying. And they don't want to be, you know, peed on their head and told it's raining. They want the truth. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, they can see the truth. They just want it said by the team, and the team won't even say it. And it's not, again, this is not a Rider or CFL thing. One that has always stuck with me is I saw a Vancouver sports fan screaming at Sportsnet in all caps, stop telling us it's going to be okay with the Canucks.
Yeah.
Right? These Sportsnet panelists tell it like it is. The fans want it.
Yeah.
And it's going so far the other way. I think that's a lot of reason why this show has been so popular is we give the fans a voice. We say what it is. And the other thing, or how we feel that it is. And I love the fact when guys come in like yourselves or like Mike Abomeshrick, Don Hewitt, Rob Vanstone, they sit around like you guys are looking around going, you guys are having so much fun. That's what everybody says. And that's what this business should be. You know,
absolutely.
But back to your rider profiles. And guy, by the way, guys, meet Ryan. He's our analytics guy, by the way.
Yeah, Ryan.
You had your baby, hey?
Congratulations.
Yeah, boy or girl? I didn't even know.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Outstanding. Congratulations, Ryan. He's our analytics guy. He'll give us even more numbers, Costa, when the show is over. But of all your stories, Peter, of the riders, what's the one nugget that you came up with that just knocked your socks off about a player that...
Oh, it's hard to think of just one nugget because there's been so many good ones. I kind of do it in two parts, right? I like to do a little bit of a serious profile, really get to know maybe their upbringings or where they came from. I usually try to latch on one thing. So for William Powell, sadly, it was his mom passing away when he was just going into college. And he told great stories about how important she was. Another little tidbit for Willie Powell was that his sister's a brain surgeon. So obviously, him scoring 3 touchdowns in a game didn't even make him the most successful person in the family. So tidbits about that. But I also like looking at the lighter side of things, and you kind of see these players a little blown away and maybe a little flattered that, how did you know that? How did you know that little tidbit? I think overall, my favorite was Kyron Moore, because I was talking to this guy where I really realized, wow, he is a kid. He was barely 21 years old at the time, and just his journey from Bessemer, Alabama, a place that nobody in this province would have heard of, tiny town, which of course we can relate to a little bit, but just so different of a world that he came from, and just talking about how his mom, you know, paid for his university and paid for all the things that he needed to get to Saskatchewan, and that he played for he didn't have any offers to any schools, and he ended up finding a home at Austin Peay, and then Chris Jones happened to get a hold of him, and just the incredible journey, and the one thing that I really look forward to following up, and I'm sure everybody will hear about it when it happens, is he made a promise to his mom. He wrote on his wall, take mom shoe shopping in Italy. So his dream is to take his mom shoe shopping in Italy to pay back all the great things he gave to her. And that interview ended up getting nominated for an RT&D Prairie Award as well. Yeah,
RT DNA.
Yeah. So
congrats, man.
Didn't win. It's all right. But
okay.
He's at the dance, just like Costa. That's right. The main thing.
But yeah, and I mean, that was all Kyron. He just was willing to open up to me. He talked to me about the loss of his uncle, the loss of his grandmother. And it was really kind of touching and surprising that he opened up so much on his life, and it was just incredible, this young man just kind of starstruck by this whole experience, but also not giving any cliche sports answers. He was willing to tell his whole life story.
Didn't you do one on Derek Moncrief too?
Derek Moncrief was one of my favorites.
That's the one that I remember out of all of them, but tell our viewers about that.
Yeah, Derek Moncrief was a great one, from Prattville, Alabama as well, another Alabama guy. Prattville was another small place, although closer to bigger center. The one that kind of blew him away, and when I came back to the newsroom and everybody was just like, that was such a great question, is that his mom is a minister. And she just recently become a minister. And when I asked, is your mom a minister? He just went, yeah, she is. And he was just so excited to talk about what that's like to have a mom as a minister. Of course, I also discovered that he wears number 42 because he's got, 4 sisters and 2 brothers, I believe. I can't remember if it's the other way around now. So he does that to honor them. But he had another tough road as well, right? Like he talked a lot about how he wasn't good at school. He struggled with school, which is something I can relate to, attention deficit problems. Yeah. And he had to fight through that. He had to go to community college to get his grades up. I talked to him, what did that mean for you when you got your grades up and you were like, wow, I can actually go to a Div 1 college? He said it meant the world to him and his mom, and that it was such a huge accomplishment, one of his biggest yet. Yeah, that was a really fun one to do. And I think the rapid fire on that, which I call it the rapid fire, even though it ends up being sometimes as long as the full interview.
Yeah.
But he really opened up on some cool little tidbits.
If anybody of the fans care to know that these are people first, they tend to forget players and coaches are people. They have feelings.
Yeah.
They have backgrounds. And people don't realize that when they're just watching them on television. And that's what's cool about what you do. We may have opened a bit of a can of worms here, but a couple of comments have come in on the Facebook wall. Trevor Parley says, what is the reason behind the control? I don't know why teams want to control the message. I think they're afraid that it will deter people from buying tickets or buying jerseys, when I think it's exactly the opposite. To get people just talking about you is what gets them turned on. But the leagues and the teams see it as it's got to be 100% positive or off with your head. And, you know, that's a story for another day. Will probably come out in my next book when I do my memoirs on this, but I'm not going to blab it out today on Facebook. And Landon says, in listening to Rod call games, I knew he was a genuine Rider fan. However, when the other team would score, he would be just as excited. Exciting listening to guys call a game like that. Was it ever hard to not get mad that the other team scored, Rod? Maybe like a close game or something like that. Of course, I got mad every time the other team scored, but I'm not going to be like these guys. And there's a lot of them. Touchdown. The other team.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the other team, it's exciting when the other team scores a touchdown too. So that's all about excitement. We're not splitting atoms here. We're not doing brain surgery. This is fun. It's sports. Let's have fun. You know, not everybody sees it that way, but that's why I approached it the way I did. We'll take a timeout. More questions and comments. If you got them for Costin Peter, fire them at us. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777 or on the Facebook wall. We're having tons of fun, as we always do on a Tuesday morning. Canada's most watched Facebook live show is right here, The Rod Peterson Show. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode number 51 of The Rod Peterson Show. Levi Steinhauer. A number 51 that came in, former Rider long snapper out of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. On the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. Leonard here. I just found your show on the net. Now I can listen on my phone and text. Great show, Rod. Thank you, Leonard. Glad to have you. Another new listener. Appreciate it. We got one more. Costa America's Peter Mills with us here, and I asked the guys in the break what they wanted to talk about here in the next 11 minutes. And it's obviously about the Riders. Let's just talk about the Riders right now. Costa, you grew up a Rider fan. We've had these talks. Now, people, you got to know, Costa and I in the media together, we were acquaintances for many years. Then I marry a Greek woman, who to this day is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And then in Costa, you guys all brought me in like part of the family. You Greeks, that's the way you roll, hey?
Absolutely. You're there.
I love it.
I knew your wife's parents very well growing up.
Ted and Reg, great people.
Ted was an amazing golfer, but more than that, an amazing man who always would ask, you know, things about my family. Like, he knew names. He remembered names.
And
I really miss him around the Greek Orthodox Church because they were regulars there. So nice people. But yeah, you're part of that. You're part of that.
And I love it.
You're part of the whole conspiracy.
You know I love it.
You know, you have to keep silent now on certain things. But aside from
that, trust me, I know. I know that too. But reason I bring that up, we've talked about Peter's Rider fandom. Yours, you guys are both covering the team following the team very closely.
Absolutely.
4-game win streak, 5-3. I'll say it, I didn't expect it. I didn't. I did say they'd be good under O'Day and Dickinson. I didn't think they'd be this good this fast. Mm. And Costa, it's a good story.
You know, I see it from a fan's point of view. It's nice to have the wins. They're actually playing exciting football.
Yeah.
I think I feel I've gone to that post Grey Cup hangover that lasted way too long.
Yeah.
You know, even last year when the team went 12-6, kudos to the team for accomplishing that, getting a rare home playoff game. But it felt like it was a 6-12 team to me, in a sense that it wasn't that exciting. Maybe for those who love defense.
I love defense, so I thought it was a great year.
So this year there's a sense of excitement, and dare I say, even that blowout loss to Calgary, I marveled at some of the plays that the Calgary team made that night. So it's been an exciting season this year. And even if they were 3-5, if they lost some close games, I would still be excited about the team.
I mean, coming into this offseason was so wild that I had no idea what to expect. And I did think that this team would miss Chris Jones, especially on defense. But also as a general manager, I think he was underrated for the players that he brought in here. Kind of like Roy Shivers, some of the players that are stars on the team right now. Derek Moncrief, I tweeted last week, he's the best player in the CFL. Prove me wrong. Everybody already thinks he's going to the NFL. Well, he was somebody that Chris Jones brought in and found a place for him, too, because his identity in college, they didn't know if he was safety, didn't know if he was a linebacker. Well, the best part is he's playing both with the Riders, depending on each play. But yeah, I wasn't quite sure where they would stand this year. I was thinking 9-9 to be safe, right? That's always the safe bet. 9-9, they'll get the playoffs, probably crossover. But then midway through this first half of the season, I changed my tune. We were talking at the Rider panel in the morning edition, and I was telling Stephanie Langenegger, you know, she thought I would be the Debbie Downer. I would come in and say, don't get your hopes up. Things are going to go downhill now after that Calgary game. And I looked at it and I said, you know what? I think they're going to be 6-3 by Labor Day. Just looking at the schedule, these are teams they should beat. They should beat BC. They should beat Hamilton. They should beat Montreal. The Montreal one was an interesting way to win. And then they should be beating Ottawa next week after the bye. And there's a very realistic chance they could be 6-3 going to Labor Day. And boy, does that set up maybe one of the best Labor Days in recent memory in terms of both teams being powerhouses in the league. So, yeah, they've met my expectations the past few weeks, but boy, did that change from the first couple weeks of the year.
Yeah, they've exceeded mine, and kudos to them, but a long ways to go. And it's funny you guys bring up Chris Jones. Some of the football guys said to me, what day was that I went on the Jones rant? They said, you were really hard on Jones. I guess it was last week. And I said, how? Because I like Chris Jones. Yeah. While you're pointing out that he didn't win a Grey Cup here.
Well, he did.
Should I say that he did? Because he didn't. That was the deal. So I kind of get it. I am a huge Chris Jones fan. Believe me, I am. I'm just stating fact, which I guess some people do not like. You mentioned the Montreal win on Friday night. I'm watching it out in Springbank, Alberta with all my family. It was awesome. I've gone on record as saying, and I'll say it again, don't have a problem with the rule at all. Our vote yesterday, by the way, Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question was, how long are you willing to wait in a weather delay? 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, or 2 hours or more, and the winner was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or more. People were willing to wait longer than an hour. That's why I believe this was a decision by the business people of the league, the presidents, not the GMs or coaches. I think any football person would wait pretty much as long as they had to, and the fans paid their money too. I've seen that now from the other side that I'm sitting with them. Your take on the way the game ended the other night and the rule in general?
It caught me off guard, first of all. I didn't know such a rule even existed. It felt abrupt to me, but I'm also, you know, aware of this player's safety issue. How long can a player, after playing 2.5 quarters, be off the field and then go back and play again before it's dangerous for them to go back on? I don't know. But so we have to be conscious of that, because I think you ask any football player, gauging from the reaction I've heard since this all happened, players will go play out 6 hours later if they have to, because they'll just do it.
Oh,
and they'll
sure
play on a parking lot if they have to, on concrete. But leave it, leave that aside. It still felt like 1 hour just didn't seem right for me. But I don't know what the answer is. I just did not like the way it ended.
I have lots to say on this. I could go all show here, Rod. But first, I'll just say what I've come around to. I've come around to, yes, this is the rule. They changed it. What can you do about it? You know, you had to cancel the game, and I do agree that player safety is a thing. Now, on the other side, I was tweeting at the time, too, when this game was about to be canceled, that this isn't good for the CFL. They can't afford to do this, because then here come all the people, all the Bush League CFL, which I totally disagree with. I think that's absolutely a joke, that attitude. But it just invites those people to say, oh, of course they canceled the game, right? Even though these are the rules. I personally think, yeah, it should be close to that 2 hour range at best. I would wait 10 hours. I mean, we saw this the other, or the this season at Taylor, or at Mosaic Stadium. We waited 2 hours for that storm. And I mean, of course, that was because it was in the first half of the game, but they probably would have waited 3 hours. Now, this opens up a whole another conversation of the no re-entry policy at Mosaic Stadium, which I think is problematic. Because, Rod, I know very well you, what is one of the most memorable Rough Rider games in history? The Edmonton rainstorm game at Taylor Field, when power went out to the whole city. That was significantly worse than what we saw in Montreal. Well, what happened in that game? I went to my car and listened to you, waiting to find out what was happening, because people were, we stayed in the stands for an hour or whatever it was, and then we decided, we heard people saying, oh, the game's gonna be canceled.
Right,
and
police were telling people it was gonna be canceled.
So we went to our car, we turned on Roddy to find out what was happening. Almost as soon as we got to the car, the game's back on. So, and then waves of people sprinting back to the stadium. I saw it myself and got to watch one of the greatest finishes in Taylor Field history. You couldn't do that at New Mosaic Stadium. I live just a few blocks away from the stadium, so it would have been nice to go home, maybe make a little supper and come back during the after the break, but you couldn't do that anymore. And I think that actually is problematic as well.
Well, it's funny you say that about that night, because we've been talking a lot about it this week.
Yeah.
I remember this. We'd never had a delay that long at a Rider game that I was calling on the air. So back at the station, the producer's like, do you want to just spin tunes? And I'm like, no, we can't. This is a situation. Mm-hmm. This has now become live breaking news coverage. So for 59 minutes over a cell phone, I'm calling it from the booth, and was a joy to say, they're coming back out, ladies and gentlemen. It's funny you say, Costa, the how long can they go?
I don't know.
With a break for the player. They used to play 2 games in 3 days and smoke a carton of cigarettes and 24 beer after the game. Let's be honest. How dangerous is it? They're playing a game. Come on.
In this case, they had another game they could go to. So it's not like TSN would have had to talk for another, you know, 2-3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gone to the other game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think also the other issue was that they ran out of poutine at the stadium.
Yeah.
Ran out of nachos at a recent game, too.
But seriously, though, but you know, Rod, I have to take issue with what you said, because you go back to the old days. I remember the Riders taking that Eastern Rose swing and playing 2 games. But nobody also talked about concussions back then. And there were some, not that you want to sugarcoat that issue, but these are things that we have to think about, right? And in those days, people didn't talk about that. And look at the consequences. There were players who were severely hurt in post-career, right? So I think there's a greater awareness of that. Now, in saying that, I still can't put my finger on, and no one's proven to me why, whether it's a one-hour break or a two-hour break, what difference that would make in player safety. I just don't know.
You'd have to talk to the...
I was disappointed the game was
to the team therapists. I guess if they were to...
They're not doctors, though, are they?
No, but they are in charge of the players' bodies.
True,
so, and they do have medical people.
Yes, and they're part of that whole care package that's brought. There are doctors on the team as well, and but nonetheless, it was just disappointing. It was too bad.
Well, if they amended the rule to 2 hours, would it be agreeable to everybody? Everybody has their own thought on it. I mean, I mentioned on yesterday's show that we looked up Sunday the NFL policy on this, and they don't even have a policy on it. The CFL's actually ahead of the curve with this policy. Yes. It literally says, check with the commissioner, check with the commissioner, check. It basically says that. So I applaud the CFL for this. Could it be longer? Yes, but at least they have a policy, and maybe they'll revisit it in the offseason. Well, gentlemen, this has been outstanding. I really appreciate it. Can we do it again soon?
Absolutely.
Love to.
All right. Anything that you want to talk about before I let you go and bring Dupes in for overtime?
I wear a different pin every day, Roddy, when
I'm working.
I didn't have a milestone one, so I wore a 1992 Regina Bonspiel, but to make up for it, I didn't wear socks in honor of old Dupes here.
Nice.
No socks today.
Top that, Costa.
I went with a blue theme today.
I like it.
Because I'm going to Greece in about 2.5 weeks. So, you know, this is the Greek color of the flag. So that's my
habitually
theme. And an ode to your new roots as a part-time Greek now.
Habitual. Well, I just saw it again, voted the most beautiful country in the world. Greece, it's again. Beautiful. It's on the bucket list of our family. She's been many times. I've never been. Give me a sales pitch for Greece, why we should go to Greece.
That ocean, and when you go to some island and you see those homes and buildings attached to mountainsides and cliffs, and below is this ocean blue Mediterranean, and the wonderful food, and the people are inviting and warm. And pick some of the islands that are not on a lot of people's buckets list. Outside of Mykonos and Santorini, go to some smaller islands and just explore. And don't book a ferry leaving. Just see how long you like it there. And then when you're done with it, move on to the next place.
Sold.
It's beautiful.
And what I love is Georgi Anitsos is watching every day from Greece as we speak. Costa, you can watch the show when you head over to Greece.
I will be tuning in.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Darren Dupont joins us in the bunker after this break for overtime. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This pre-owned 2018 Ford Escape SEL with leather, sunroof, and navigation is only $29.95 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline Diesel. Its employee price, just $11.99 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, for the warm-up. Picking up on the thought just before the break, Aaron's watching in Milford this morning. He says, I hate that the game got cut short. This is on the Prairie Mobile text line. I wonder if there is a large lightning storm in a big steel stadium, it may not be that safe to sit in the seats for 3 hours waiting for the game to restart. Hence why they did it. So yeah, nobody likes it, but they had to draw the line and they did. Sports update. The Blue Jays continue a three-game series with the Texas Rangers tonight at Rogers Center. The hard-hitting Jays open the three-game set with a 19-4 drubbing of the Rangers. A pantsing. Lefty Thomas Pannone starts for Toronto tonight, while righty Lance Lynn gets the call for Texas. Winnipeg receiver Janarian Grant has been named one of the CFL's top performers for Week 9 after a stunning debut performance. He had 306 all-purpose yards and returned two punts for touchdowns as the West Division-leading Blue Bombers edged visiting Calgary 26-24 on Thursday. Hamilton receiver Brandon Banks and Edmonton running back C.J. Gable were also honored for CFL Players of the Week. And that is your Tuesday morning sports update as we welcome back into the bunker Darren DuPont, plus our business manager, Tyler Gross. Am I saying that properly?
You are.
There it is, business manager.
You can have whatever title you want.
Right? Oh, by the way, breaking news from yesterday. It's so loud.
I know.
That's the idea. Wake up, everybody. Our trip to Houston was good before. Now it's great.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just waiting on pins and needles for the NBA schedule to come out. I got to check the poll here. But the Houston Rockets are home the week that we're there and will be part of the trip now to the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings. And our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll is, who would you rather see on our Houston trip? And leading was both. Both was an option. Go to both games. But right now, a couple hours in, it's the Houston Rockets versus the Phoenix Suns is the leader. So you might want to let Uniglobe and Michelle know over there. I want to go to both. Why the hell not?
Marshall Ferguson carries some weight because he was saying that's the game to watch. The Suns. Now all of a sudden the fans are into it.
Right. So what do we need to know about the Phoenix trip? Do we need to bring Michelle on the air again? Or let's ring those phones. Let's fill her up.
RodPeterson.com/trip. RodPeterson.com/trip. And you get to come on the trip. And as you mentioned, the only one that we've seen that's under $2,000.
Yes.
So that's exciting. Beautiful Houston, which I've never been to. Really excited about that.
Me either.
But I found out it's the fourth largest city in the United States, right by the massive shopping mall. So your wife will be happy about that.
And me.
2,000 stores or something like that.
I don't know. Do they have a massage clinic there?
Oh,
that's
sure
what I'm more interested
they
in.
They do. Maybe I'll get my first ever, but get the calves done.
You don't know what you're missing out on. Had my first ever four-hand massage in Nashville last year on the trip.
Oh, sounds
dirty, but it's not.
I really want to make a Robert Kraft joke right now.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to hold off.
Oh, interesting chat last segment, by the way. And Ryan, one of our analytics guys. What do we call it? He's the director, isn't he? Ryan? Technical producer.
Technical.
There you go. Thank you. I don't know what anybody's title is around here. But he said how riveting the segment was with Costa and Peter Mills from the CBC when we were talking about teams and leagues wanting to control the message, right?
Yeah.
And what gets out to the public. Well, it was funny with the Robert Kraft stuff when I don't know how much reporting there was in New England and Boston about it. I mean, there was some, but the NFL Network, they dove right in. They had to. They had to.
Oh, yeah.
This is something you can't ignore.
The New England Patriots have always been low-hanging fruit to Roger Goodell and the NFL in terms of, you know, publicizing the negativity. And this is from a lifelong New England Patriots fan, so I'm allowed to say that sort of thing. But, you know, the whole Brady Deflategate thing, the Brady suspension, you know, you look at some of these things that have happened and compare it to some of the other crazy things that have happened in the league that, you know, maybe haven't been punished as highly, right? Like, I definitely think that the Patriots, Goodell has his eye on the Patriots.
You're sounding like the Riders Chris Jones era on that. That's fine, which, interestingly enough, tell the viewers, Tyler, why I've been to Halifax, going to Moncton here next week. I can't wait for Touchdown Atlantic. The Patriots, I got the sense, is their team out in Halifax.
Big time. Big time. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, a lot of our TV feeds always came from Boston in the U.S. So got to see a lot of Patriots games growing up, a lot of Bruins games growing up, a lot of Red Sox. So shout out to Beantown here for sure. It's probably my favorite American city for sure. Fun to visit. Great food. I love seafood, right? So Boston is definitely a place we should go.
The New England clam chowder, right?
Maybe the 2020 Rod Peterson Show trip we can go to Gillette.
I would be very much down with that. And the beautiful thing about the new life for me and you, Darren, is we can go any time in the year. So maybe a September next year, we could catch the Patriots, the Red Sox.
Oh, that'd be
good. Maybe
the
weather would still be preseason games. The weather would be nice.
Yeah.
We don't like the cold.
That's the thing about going in December is we pick the warm climates, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we went to Boston three or four years ago for the Thursday night home opener against the Jets. And so we got to catch a Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees game at Fenway. We went to Connecticut and golfed for a day. It was like an hour drive, right? So there's all kinds of fun stuff we could do in Boston. It'd be great.
What do we want to talk about in the 2 minutes we have left?
So maybe I will take this one on. We ran.
He's very shy. Sorry. If you notice, he's very shy.
Yeah. I get very limited airtime okay. with my shiny forehead. So
right.
I want to make sure I can take advantage. But we ran some more analytics last night around the show and, you know, the trajectory that we're on right now, not just in Saskatchewan, but across the country is fantastic. You know, I shared a post this morning of the feature we did yesterday on the Blue Jays, right? Like, you know, we cover so many different sports. We had the curling guys in last week. You know, there's it's super exciting to see the reach that we get, again, not just in Saskatchewan, but in cities across the country. You know, shout out to Edmonton this morning, trying to get their fans a little bit more engaged.
Yeah, they watch, but they don't say anything.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's okay. We're going to get them to talk more, right? And again, the more variety of things that we feature on the show, the more people that are going to be interested. So it's been fantastic.
That's cool. Yeah, I can't say any more than that.
Well, the interesting thing, just on the ages, you were breaking it down. It's even from 20 to 35, 35 to 45, 55. It's all even. There's not one demographic more than the other, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
and we continue to be very popular with the ladies.
I think it was when they saw Abu put his leg behind his head earlier last week. That's what did it.
Did I miss something when I was away? What did he do with his legs?
If you go on YouTube and check out the 3-minute clip of Mike Abu Meshrek shenanigans from last week, it's pretty entertaining.
Here's the thing. As Abu was on, our viewership was going up and up and up and up and up. Well, he didn't like that at all. What do you think?
Of course.
And then we looked into it, and it was the females were going up and up and up. So all of a sudden, he started flexing. He put his leg behind his head. Like, what is that supposed to prove, by the way?
I wonder how it worked out for him.
Yeah, you'd never know, right? You would never know. Clark wants to know, how can people jump on board? Just put this out. How can people jump on board for sponsorships and advertising?
Contact me directly for sure, tyler@dupontmedia.ca. That would be a great way to start. Contact Rod. Reach out to the show on social media. You know, we're all a pretty tight-knit group here. So, you know, communicate with one of us, and I will gladly reach out to you. The other thing that's super important at this point is making sure that all of our fans are liking our page, following our page, sharing us on social media. So, you know, not just on Facebook, but on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, even on LinkedIn, there's opportunities to talk to us on there, right? The more engagement we have from the fans, the more popular this show is going to become, the better things are going to be.
Perfect. And you brought on board Roots Kitchen and Bar. I've been giving our guests these discount cards from there. 4000 James Hill Road. At one of these days, we'll figure out who James Hill is. Somebody wants to let us know. This is the official coffee house of the Rod Peterson Show. So, Darren, it's the quietest I've ever seen you.
I know. I just get to sit back here and enjoy. It's awesome.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
I don't know what we got tomorrow. I believe Jim Hobson, the Duke, Derek Myers. Follow our social media feeds, and we'll let you know for that. We're out. We're done. Thanks today for... Oh, Neil Hughes tomorrow. The Métis Missile. Neil Hughes will be on the program tomorrow. Thanks to today's guests, Costa Marigas, Peter Mills, Marshall Hamilton, Marshall Ferguson, these two jabronis, our technical producer, Ryan, Jordan and Clark here. It's a big show. It's a really big show. And we'll see you tomorrow here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.